Wait, people are taking lots of money out of this roaring stock market? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Many stock market headlines this week were about the Dow crossing above 23,000 for the first time. Yesterday, the Dow went up 160 points, 0.7% to 23,157, but the S&P and the NASDAQ barely budged at all. And don't miss this. A new calculation by EPFR Global finds that in the third quarter, investors pulled $36 billion out of mutual funds and exchange-traded funds in the United States. So who's buying? Companies buying back their own shares and foreign investors. Let's check in with economist Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So the U.S. Treasury Secretary thinks we've got this magnificent stock market. But, you know, when you look under the hood here, a lot of Americans are not buying stocks right now, right? Look at this data.
Exactly. What we've seen is that the people who own stock are down quite a bit from the peak of almost two-thirds of the U.S. economy before households, before we hit the crisis, to a little over 50% today. So it really is much more concentrated. It's even worse when you look at where the concentration of wealth is in the highest income households.
And there's also a personal finance angle here.
One of the things that we're seeing happen is, in particular, people who have 401ks, which this is their retirement now, they are borrowing against their own 401ks, which they can do. I've been talking to many companies, and they're having experts come in from outside to look at it because they're very concerned about the financial duress their employees are facing so late in the expansion. And many of them are finding over 90% of their 401ks are being borrowed against. That means that people borrow against themselves. They have to pay themselves back to retire, and they're close to retirement.
Right. And so if you do pay yourself back, fine. But if you can't generate the cash because you're strapped, your retirement is in trouble.
Even worse, because you borrowed against it, you weren't contributing and getting the match from the company in the years preceding that. So it means even if you're able to pay yourself back, which is, you know, for periods of time can be okay when you're young, say borrowing on a down payment for a house against yourself. But if you do it later in life, you're so much disadvantaged because you've lost the returns in the market that we just saw, along with the match from the company.
Diane Swonk is CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Diane, thank you for this briefing.
Thank you.
This morning, the Dow is down 82 points, 0.4%. The S&P 500 now down 0.3%. NASDAQ Composite down 42 points, 0.6%. Now, remember when Obamacare was the villain in the White House narrative on health care? Note that in recent days, the president is aiming more at health insurance companies. Here he is yesterday at the Senate Finance Committee meeting.
I won't do anything to enrich the insurance companies because right now the insurance companies are being enriched. They've been enriched by Obamacare like nothing anybody's ever seen before.
Last week, the administration turned off federal subsidies for the Obamacare exchanges. We'll learn more today about if and how Congress plans to temporarily restore the money. It's a little like winning a best-dressed competition only because of your winning personality. Our friends at The Economist magazine have been looking at companies that the stock market loves despite their unimpressive or non-existent profits. In this season for quarterly results, there's Netflix, privately held Uber, Tesla, Chesapeake Energy, and NextEra Energy. Here to talk about the power of talking about anything but profits is Patrick Fowles, New York bureau chief for The Economist. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, David.
I mean, investors bet on the future. I guess that's what's going on here.
That's right. I mean, you know, capitalism is about investing today for profits tomorrow. But these companies take that idea to an incredible extreme. And in all cases, they lose over $1 billion of cash profits every year. Steve Jobs, actually, at Apple, who had this idea of the reality distortion field, which means you as a CEO can kind of bend the perception of the outside world and almost suspend reality completely. And that's what these five companies seem to be able to do.
It's fascinating to watch because you say, what are your profits? What were your results last quarter? And then you often get answers that are not denominated in dollars.
Well, the great example is Elon Musk, the boss of Tesla, you know, where over this year, Tesla's really missed its production targets for its new Model 3 car. But the stock market and investors just don't care. The share price keeps on going up because people have bought into that vision.
It was big in the dot-com boom that began the millennium. to make promises about the future without profits.
Yeah, so if you go back to the peak of the dot-com bubble, there were probably 100 companies in the US that really lost lots of money. Now we're down to maybe 20 or 25 companies. But the tiny subset within that of businesses that really invest really heavily to try and grow really fast, almost to make a great leap forward, those companies are really sort of playing with fire in a way. They're already pushing their financials, their share price expectations to a quite dangerous level, I think.
Any tips for leaders who would like to pull off this magnificent performance?
One is the sort of charismatic leader who's pushing the idea of a kind of breakthrough technology where it could be changing the way people travel, changing the way you drill for oil and gas. The second common element we found was that you need to be able to exhibit very fast growth right now, and that gives them confidence in the long run. And then the last thing, and in a way the most interesting, is you need to be able to be a kind of financial genius, which is raise the money continually to pay for these losses and keep the plate spinning for as long as possible.
Patrick Fowles, New York bureau chief at The Economist magazine. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, David.
And don't tell a soul, but today's the 30th anniversary of the 1987 stock market crumbling before our eyes, a crash so big it's like today's market falling more than 5,000 points in a day. Marketplace.org has our coverage if you miss it on the air. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.